Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Practical Projects Update number 3. I'm looking at slowly advancing a C2 scale port for understanding the universe. Now, C2 scale, what does that mean? There's a series of six scales, I think it is. Six scales, C minus one, C naught, C or, one, two, three, and four, which basically does all of science. And the various scales, there's only one particular scale which has a really strong relevance to actually mapping, or has that scale has a port in our C naught scale. And now that's hard to explain and hard to understand, and I've got to go through a series of exercises to build this port. So it's a practical exercise, and what I've done is I've started to map how we know a particular type of information and how to reorganize the map so there's less steps. So to start off with, our nearest star is 4.3 light years away, and the distance that is in petameters is 41 petameters. It's 9.5 petameters a light year, and the first sort of building block that we're looking at is replacing the light year with a more concrete SI object called the petameter, which is then more suitable for scale transversions. And the light year is a distance times time, sorry, speed times time gives you distance. So this is sort of, it's a concept, it's graspable, but do people automatically know it? Can you actually just replace a distance is a distance? It's this fundamental thing that you can do. So in terms of getting this port built, the building blocks of this port is using the petameter rather than the light year. And the light year being a distance, and the idea, the vehicle which takes you or directs you there is this road sign. And I've described a little bit about how I've just used some basic internet quick tricks to actually ink dropper or paint dropper from a real road sign onto the mock-up sign, so it's got the correct color palette, and then look up their fonts for road signs and just paint that on, and then just try and get the geometry and the size and shape and density and read it and balance it with the fact that you're going to have this unusual unit rather than a km, a PM here, and trying to balance it between a typical Australian sign and international signs are convenient. So hopefully I've done that, and that's a vehicle. And at this stage, once I've got the road sign up, the first thing is to check with science communicators in the field. Australia's science communicator at large, Fred, God, this is my brain going. His name's Fred. I can't remember his second name. But I really wish I could get him and actually just gently tap and say, look at the road sign. And to which he said, he sees the pattern meter as quite an intelligent alternative angle to get to the light year, which is the established unit. So that's quite a clever unit. That's one observation which gives you already that although you need buy-in from the designated communicators, so there is sort of a national official communicator position, astronomer at large, this Fred person. So it means that your new idea is not yet going to breach, and you will not expect that to happen until you develop, keep on probing. So it's hard to say when you're outside a position probing, you don't expect the very first position you go up to actually give the full, you know, enable you to walk in. You expect that probe to detect strength and see relationships. And the initial information I got back from my first probe with Fred, sending a quick email up, is that there is a response time. I was able to get a response from him, and from checking where the email went, the email went through Marnie.org, and that's right, org, and log, and she runs a communication, astronomy communication, night sky tours, and they're very much, she has an information bottle, so the email goes through her, and she or Marnie or Fred would have opened up the website to the picture, because it's on the form. I can only put a link. I can't actually put a picture. Put the picture there, and having it sufficiently small and contained, we got the feedback that you don't need any assistance in communication because of the extensive, prolific nature of communication listed out in your website. But indeed, I don't have a website, and this gives a certain sort of information, the difference in terms of that I'm not going to produce a traditional web object for people to interact with and compete. I'm producing other things, so I'm not producing a website, I'm producing a strategy. So this a strategy of having a road sign and installations spread across the Earth, centered on Glenbrook, to give you a geometry of a relative distance using. So there's sort of galactic space distances, but there's intellectual space distances. So I've got a more direct axis as a distance. So it's a distance times a certain scale, a petameter, which is 10 to the 15, as opposed to a more indirect axis to distance, which is a speed and a time. So there's a meter and a speed of light and a, say, 3 nanoseconds. Light will travel 3 nanoseconds in a meter. So I'm... from the top of my head to my toes, this roughly takes light 4 nanoseconds for my toe to reach my eye, a bit more. So, you know, giving it in terms of time is something very good, but it's not as direct as saying it's a meter 56. So it looks as though the cops have gone out of there, so it's all sorted out. Oh, sorry, it's a separate story you have to listen to. the previous podcast. The point here is we've yet to get the concept of this is a road sign, but the road sign is the equivalent to a spaceship. And this is why I've begun to play with President Kennedy's speech, replacing the word moon with Glenbrook. And I then have to go and produce a YouTube address explaining that we're not producing a website, we're not producing a one-off experience, we're producing an enduring cultural strategy with these artifacts come together to produce something larger. By transporting people to Glenbrook is equivalent to transporting them to the moon. When the human race went to the moon, what did we come back with? We came back with experience and understanding and perspective. So the trip to the moon was a physical distance, overcoming obstacles. This is a conceptual journey that by its nature, whereas a rocket is involved in telemetry, fuel and ratio, getting a small payload a precise distance in space, we're looking at efficiently getting the payload of the entire human race, or anyone who's receptive to it, to this roadmap. So it's 41 petameters to Alpha Centauri, 81 to Sirius, 6,000 to Betelgeuse, and 8,000 to Rigel. Now that's a journey along one axis, the scale axis. Then there's that same journey can be through different colours. So those are dwarf main sequence, let's say ours, red giant, blue, and that's one axis. But then this is the same journey. So although the lunar spacecraft was going through, took off and took all national resources, it had to go through these various stages, and it didn't get there in one go. There was a whole series of Apollo. On the 11th mission, we got there. So in this case, there's a series of missions, sort of an orbit, to get this imagery out here, orbit, and to actually realize that the Apollo mission was obviously I'm not fantasizing about this, but the Apollo mission did a certain thing within a certain time limit and has become buried in history. It can't be reproduced. It's extremely expensive. This is a different point of space. This is a mission, an enduring mission, where people can see a scale model of the sun and then walk, if they wanted to, 40 kilometers through the Australian bush to the next things, or go to somewhere else on the coast and go to Sirius to see a model of it. And in this very simple way, this very cut down way of having five stars, our own and the other ones, you can actually go to the distance, appreciate the distance, and get there. There may be commercial handles, but the commercial handles are not immediately visible. What's happening is that the commercial handles are so tenuous that people really guard them. So the existing astronomy interest is so tenuous that it's strongly, strongly guarded. And so it's against a new entrant. Now, this sort of gives you a sort of feeling of the Cold War aspect of it. The resolution of the Cold War is not one side is better than the other. Just new concepts emerged, the internet connectivity, new things emerged. But at the moment, we're in a Cold War situation where there's a light year block, as in not blocking, stopping, but a group of people who believe in light year, group of people who believe in a particular business model, and they are going to send up interdiction to slow you down. And of course, what happens is that you've got to adopt a Cold War strategy of just building up a massive direction forward, building up entire philosophy, a strategy, hiding. It's not a Cold War thing where you want to get a confrontation, you want to avoid a confrontation and win the Cold War in a totally different, in a different method. And I suppose the recipe of the Cold War is that it's passed because the questions of the future, addressing of the presence about the future, are no longer in context with Cold War mentality. And you've still got these fronts up here. So I want to do it a different way, and I've got to look at doing it. So one of the things I want to do is this start experimenting with the medium of a big mission, thinking high up, and a fluid palette. And that is where I launch a YouTube with certain high-end disconcerting things that people know. So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to take a risk, and I've gone in there and edited the speech such that President Kennedy says Glenbrook, and then I have to, after that, go forward. Now, Glenbrook itself has lent itself to saying, you're put aside, but then why would anyone say Glenbrook? Well, it's got all these models sitting at the front. They've got a model, concrete model of the Blue Mountains, a model of a serpent rising low steps, and the playground is along the representation of the Jameson Valley. So there's these models here, and you've got these people searching and disengaged. So you've got these flows here, and the key thing is that you've got a culture, a Cold War culture, saying that any new idea is not going to be accepted because it will threaten the lifeblood of existing ideas. So existing ideas are so tied up with keeping the status quo and keeping the money flowing in week by week, there is no capacity for a new idea or a new change. So it's sort of like you're running a coffee shop and you're realizing it's quite hot, people want ice creams, but you can't invest the capital. There's no to buy an ice cream stuff. You can only afford not to offer new ice creams, but to offer new flavors of coffee. You can't switch your business model over. So this is a different business model and a different cohort. So this is astronomy in broad daylight. That is, you need daylight to see these things. You need daylight to actually go and visit the C2 model. And the entire aspect of the C2, of this model stuff, is to look at dimensions. The dimensions of the cognitive complexity of it. And this is not to say one model's right, one model's wrong. And then if you go along this path, this particular model has ways of accessing information that is not accessible. So it operates on broad daylight. It does very quickly multiple star systems. It does moving stars and so forth. Now, the issue here is that we can have an imaginative cosmology. That is, you have a series of stars and you can have your own series of stories. So what I would like to do is, so there's received cosmology, which has to be the same to be authentic. Here, the authenticity is the meaning, you know, the idea that a cosmology contains meaning. So I would have some of the following things. One is that Orion is a cricketer. You can sort of see that, and the actual bow is now seen in modern terms as the path the bat takes, and that the ball is Sirius, the brightest star, the scorcher, and it's been battered away, and Sirius is actually moving. It's one of the fastest moving stars, I think, since the dawn of civilization. It's moved a moon's width 1 degree in the sky. So it is moving, changing colour, doing heaps and heaps of stuff. So that gets that done, this cosmology. Taurus, the bull, in order to get interest up, I would say Taurus represents India upside down, because it's the right way up if you're in India. Down here, you're pointing south. So the fact that it's upside down is a way of getting access to us, that we're upside down. The star symbols are upside down. And I think that's important because you've got cricket. Sirius is a cricket ball going out, and that going along. And the Pleiades, again, what I would like to do is say that Pleiades is the inflation port, that little thing where you blow up the universe in this stuff. Obviously, Sirius is not a cricket ball. Taurus is not India. It's also Pleiades and not inflatable point, but to point out that the universe is expanding according to the Australian cosmology. Now, the idea here is that you can, as a class exercise, create a cosmology and publish it as an official cosmology in the books of cosmology. So I suppose there's people who can come up with rude cosmologies, extensive cosmologies, but it's a way of getting interaction. And it's sort of another way of saying that your forward thinking is authentic, rather than people's rearward thinking is authentic. And you have the problem of people coming in and editing, censoring your rearward thinking, I don't know if that makes sense, the real issue with the confined, self-defeating, backward thinking is that you have the past, okay, but only one interpretation of the past, and then you have revisionists. And so you can very quickly get shut down the imagination of the nation. So this sort of direction that I'd like to go in, where you reconceptualize the lunar mission as a lunar mission. At the end of it, we said, well, all humanity's through there, and the moon rocks is still there, but it's the information brought about it, and it's how that information has become a brick in the greater information. So the reconceptualization of the lunar mission allows you to have a different mission, and the conceptualization or critique. The important thing is that when you're critiquing the thought or the methodology that people, with which people live, you're not criticizing those people. There's no value in that. You're just going to upset them and bunker them. And by the same token, when they respond by trying to censor you or trying to make things hard, you really can't respond to it because they really haven't got the point. You know, if they're criticizing and shutting down, they haven't got the point that we're moving the game. The game's over, not the game's over. The game is moving into a new direction of thinking forward and thinking in different scales and thinking more powerfully. And ultimately, if you do the maths, it's not going to be... I mean, we will be lucky if we do anything significant in space colonization in the next, I'd say it'd be generous, 10,000 years. Okay, it will take us possibly 10,000 years to do anything significant and worthwhile in terms of Mars, which is like that. That's really quick. The thinking used to it in that 10,000 year cycle is going to be completely different. So we're using quick, let's beat the Russians mentality, let's get up there by the end of this. We just really haven't understood the disintegration of our Ptolemies, that is, the shortness of our stay on Earth. Okay, well, thanks a lot for listening, and we'll make this podcast.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.